here we are yet again with the Paranormal Rabbit Hole. That's right, boys and girls, you've tuned in to another episode of the best paranormal show out there right now, according to me only, and you, because you, the listener, you guys, you make it happen, and we love you. We're very grateful. It is quite literally right now a dark and stormy night in my neighborhood. It's all right, though. I love it. Love it. Love watching the lightning. Love watching the storm roll through at night. It's awesome. Really awesome. But other than that, let's dive right into it. And you know what I mean by, well, let's dive right into it. And that is that when you go on Instagram, you go to that search menu, go to the search bar, type it in, the Paranormal Rabbit Hole Podcast. All one word. That's all you need to do. Type that in. Hit the symbol that looks just like this podcast. It's quite simple to follow us there. We hope you do give us some feedback of what you want us to cover. You know, we will take ideas and we will cover them. We will cover them. Getting good at research. Ooh, that was a good roll of thunder there. But we'll cover it. We'll cover it. And with that also, if you're listening to this on Amazon or Spotify, go ahead and give us 5 stars. Right, just scroll to the bottom here. Hit that 5-star button. And if you're on Apple, do the same thing. Hit the 5-star and then leave a review saying, you know, I love this show. It's great. We love our reviews. We take them quite serious. You guys wouldn't give them to us if you didn't want us to improve the show and continue on. Whew. Sorry, something's been bothering me today. It must be the rain. But today, I wanted to cover this story because, for one, over Thanksgiving weekend, I was doing research for the second story that I wanted to cover because I knew I wanted to talk about orbs very quickly, just kind of a fast episode. And then I was doing some research, and I was like, man, what do I want to talk about in this Thanksgiving episode? It's got to be something awesome. And I want it to be a cryptid because, you know, that's my favorite. I love covering a cryptid. And I was looking through and just couldn't find a good cryptid that I wanted to cover at that time. And so I went, and this was probably about 12 at midnight on Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And we're hosting. We were hosting the Thanksgiving dinner this time. So we should not have been up that late. But it continued, and I fell upon this one story, and I was like, man, excuse me. Ooh, something is getting to me tonight. Bear with me, folks. I apologize for the coughs. But this one stood out because of the way the creatures looked. And it's an alien story. And I've been dying to get into more alien stories. So this week, it's the Casablanca entities from California. And, man, these things are wicked. They are just the strangest, like, forearms and tentacles. And it's weird. They connected. So, anyways, getting into it, just jumping right into this story because it's a big one and it's a crazy one. It's 1955 to set the date. 1955, and it was probably about a little bit past, it was 2 p. I think 2 p.m. one or two p.m. On Sunday, August 22nd, in Casablanca neighborhood in Riverside County, California. And it was a group of children ranging from the age of 4 to 15. And they were just out in the neighborhood doing what kids do, playing around, you know, just being kids. And to think that this is this, now to give you a little precursor, this is going to be probably one of the most insane and terrifying events to happen to a child at the age of 4, let alone 15. So think about that for just a second. Let's go back to those ages, 4 to 15. And these kids are about to see what's about to go down. This is what I want you to think about and put into your head as we go into this story, okay? So, now, as we've said, these are 8 children ranging from 4 to 15. And they were playing in their neighborhood in Riverside County, California, the neighborhood of Casablanca. Or Casablanca, you know, if you prefer it that way. But Blanca's... Anyways, they were playing in the garden of Mr. and Mrs. Douglas. Now, that's important because Kermit Douglas was one of the children that was there that day. And he and another child were wrestling on the lawn when he noticed a strange object in the air. And by the way, boys and girls, the research that we did with this was done at Cryptopia USA. They're really great. They're amazing. They have a lot of great useful information, a lot of great to-the-date information. So if you need any kind of information on cryptids, go to Cryptopia USA and check them out. They're awesome. But they saw something hovering in the air, and obviously they just fixated on it. You know, all horseplay forgotten when this object showed up. So they said it was a translucent but brightly lit dome-like structure, and then boom, disappeared. Few minutes later, second object shows up, looks like a disc, and it looked like it was spinning. And when it did that, lights would emanate from it, would just, you know, come off of it. So it would be like a spinning light, a blade of light. Like, so, you know, they sell them everywhere now. Those little, they're either a propeller or a tube of LED lights that spin around and wrap like very fast and light up in certain places. They could see that, but the individual strands as it spun, they could see the individual strands of light. It was like they were bent, like a saw blade. And you know, that to itself, for kids that young, seeing something like that, not great. That's got to be like, what are we looking at? Did we take LSD? Within seconds, the kids were like just super transfixed, like just out of everything could be going on around them, and they wouldn't know because they were just that locked in. And it's just, so that's just to give you an idea of what they saw first. And it was, you know, these objects. And so they, you know, these weird things, these weird blades, discs of light, and these weird half domes would like vanish and reappear. And always with a ring or a pinging sound whenever they'd flash into existence or out of existence. So it was quite a some time before one of the kids ran inside and grabbed one of their parents. And when the parents came out, the objects were gone. So that's pretty weird. So think about this. Those UFOs were aware of who was watching them. And when the parent came out and were like, nope, we're done. Never mind. They were like, oh, you got your mom and dad. It's like a, ooh, God, that's kind of like one of those stalkers on those websites that they told you, if anybody ever asks you if your mom and dad are around, always tell them yes. And it's like, yeah, that seems like a good idea. I don't know this person whatsoever. So, yeah, let's not trust this guy online. And then we got to Catch a Predator with Chris Hansen, and that show was fucking awesome. That is hilarious. Because he always comes in and is like, hey, why don't you have a seat? Anyways, sorry. That's what the UFOs were doing, though. They were showing up when only the kids were around, and when the parents showed up, gone. Freaking UFOs, those weirdos, man. I knew it. No. I think they were just, you know, maybe the kids were just noticing it more, and the parents came out and were just like, oh, it's probably just some fireworks or some shit. Nobody cares. They weren't really paying attention. Or when they walked out, maybe they just vanished. Or when they walked out, the kids could still see them, but the parents couldn't. Meaning, and if that were the case for me, then that would lean more towards like maybe gas poisoning. Like some kind of gas is leaking and they are playing around it, and that's bad. You know? I mean, just thinking about that a little bit. Maybe don't let the kids play outside near an open gas main. Just saying. No. I mean, that might be the case. Maybe they didn't know it. But, so, these kids got to see this insane light display. And then, boom. Something's going to, flip. The switch is going to flip, and it's going to be completely different for them, because it's going to get a little creepy. While all this was going on, one of the objects had landed in a football field about half a block away, and it was a huge orb, like as big as three houses, is as what the witness was stated as saying. And it was hovering 3 feet off the ground. And as the group started, going towards it, the boys started to notice that something was moving, near the house. So they were looking near the door to their home, and they saw a translucent being, roughly the size of a 4-year-old child, floating just off the ground near the house. And this is the description of the creature. So, the picture that was drawn, I guess, by the kid is kind of crazy. The kid's drawing is pretty creepy if they saw something like that. Like, if that were exactly what they saw, but, like a little more shaped correctly. But this is how they describe the creature. A big red mouth, big red eyes, and 4 round objects on his face, which sparkled like diamonds where his nose should be. If it's not too crazy for you, it's about to get even crazier. So it didn't have any legs or feet. It had tapering, rounded off little nubs. There was a belt with a disc-shaped buckle. And basically, this thing was insane, nasty looking, translucent ghost creature. That, you know, there was a, that had a disc on its lap. So, I mean, these kids freak out. I mean, they freak out and start screaming. And of course, the younger kids are crying because this is some kind of weird creature with red eyes, a red mouth, and, you know, diamonds on its face. So all this, and these kids take off. Like, one of them nearly runs his own mother over as he going, as she's going outside to see what all the kids are crying about. She saw nothing. They didn't see any kind of evidence of UFO, any kind of creature. And then the rest of the kids took off and said, peace out, we're gone. We're out of here. The older kids went to go take a look at the object over the football field. One of the boys who had gone with them said that he just became transfixed and started walking towards it and said it was one of the most beautiful things he's ever seen. And two of the older boys tackled him, you know, before he could get too close to it. So that's when shit hit the fan. Marvin Sims said that the UFO began to descend from the sky, appearing and disappearing at a rapid pace, stating that they sort of spiraled down. When they took off, they disappeared with a whirling motion. So one of the ships just kind of started coming down from the sky, and kind of like a jellyfish or a squid in the ocean at night, was flashing like a translucence, but flashing color, but it would flash in and out and like disappear and reappear like a squid, you know, flashing its bioluminescence in the dark depths of the ocean. It spiraled down. So one landed on a rooftop while another apparently knocked a branch off a walnut tree. A third flew past a long antenna, which seemed to emit some kind of ray. And at the same time, one of the boys was startled to see a disembodied child-sized silver arm beckoning to him from midair from about 20 feet away. Not scary whatsoever at all, I don't think. I think it's very normal to have a disembodied small silver-covered arm beckon you from a distance. Perfectly logical to walk towards that arm, you know. It looked to be clad in some kind of armor or protective shielding, although nobody knows if the kid responded, but let's assume he's alive today to tell the tale. Another boy reports that he saw a strange man in the field who was gripping two gun-like devices, which he temporarily paralyzed a pair of his friends. Realistically, it kind of, there are plenty of shows that they could reference certain things from, like maybe Flash Gordon, or, you know, some shows back in the 50s maybe had some ridiculous shit, but you got to remember these are kids, so maybe some of them just kind of want to make up a story. But also at the same time, if you could, like, okay, so to say that this weird futuristic guy shows up with guns and paralyzed his friends, that kind of sounds like bullshit. That's the one I'd be like, okay, I don't believe that one. Like, you've got these weird creatures, and then the disembodied arm. I could understand that because maybe the creatures are can go invisible. But the thing with guns that stun people, none of the other, I mean, it depends on if any of the other kids verified that. But that's the one I just don't think would be legit. But if that's not bad enough, if laser guy's not bad enough, one of the crafts had an opening appear on the side, and another one of those red-eyed, red-mouthed, diamond-faced creatures came out. But the first creature was more of a white, translucent creature. This one was darker and also had several other nubs that hung down from its body like tentacles. And this one was not see-through. It was perfectly solid, and its skin was like undulating. So, oh yeah, and again, the arms split off at the elbows into two different arms. It split off at the elbow into two other arms, like into two arms with hands. So, yeah. So, Ronnie Strickland, one of the boys that was there, said that the entity told him, climb up a tree, and, you know, we'll pick you up in 15 minutes. He and another boy apparently did that, just that. And then right on schedule, another UFO came in and started hovering over the boys. And they tried to pull some kind of Star Wars shit, and reached out for the boy on one of their little, you know, like their vehicles. It's like, hey, come on. Just get in our ship. Well, you know, the kids freaked out and said, you know, hey, don't get on there. You know, they're obviously thinking, hey, if they go with those aliens, they're not coming back. So let's not do that. So one of the kids, being a little smart guy, said, and I mean that in a good way, being a little genius, said, aha, I've got this. Goes and gets a hose, sprays his friends, and kind of, you know, breaks them out of the haze, and they climb down. But Strickland kind of fell down. But he said that Blanche Campbell later said that she had watched him walk off the roof, and that he turned red before he jumped off the roof. Landed on his head. No injuries. And the UFOs and the aliens kind of, you know, saw the kid hit his head and took off. They were like, nah, we're gone. So that in itself shows that these aliens know, oh, shit, the kid got hurt. We got to go. We got to get out of here now. So it's weird. It's very weird. Great case. great case, but really weird. Like, what kind of creature is that? First of all, what kind of creature is that? Splits off at the elbow into two separate arms with hands. That's insane. I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want to have that because that'd be wild. But God, that would be so weird, like to have another arm come out from your elbow. Think about that. Another arm. But it was strange. It was strange. The kids reacted, but the adults couldn't see these creatures. So my big question is, one, do we know how these kids were reacting? Like, were they reacting like they were seeing something terrifying? Like, were they just crying their eyes out? Were the older kids, you know, maybe picking on them and making them freak out a little bit and got them believing that something was there when it wasn't and scared them? I mean, could it have been that? Now, why they all say they saw this creature that had, like, you know, red eyes, red mouth, and the diamonds on his face and little nubs for legs, you know, little tentacled nubs for legs. Why it was translucent and then creature B is not translucent and then has, you know, elbows that split into arms. So, you know, what's that? You know, first of all, what's that about? Second of all, you know, what was going on with the UFOs too? Like, again, parents couldn't see them, but the kids were obviously reacting to something. And why were the UFOs flashing in and out of, you know, reality? I mean, were these dimensional beings instead of aliens? You know, I mean, maybe these were interdimensional creatures that shuffle in and out of reality quickly and fluctuate from, you know, space to space, and those domes are their little, you know, habitats and structures and vehicles. Who knows? It's a strange case. And I mean, it seems like the things, the vehicles that they were traveling in, the domes and the discs, were maybe a form of travel in and out of dimensions. You know, I mean, it seems like that would be a logical thing, that, you know, you could have interdimensional travel, but inside a dome, kind of like on Futurama when they could only travel through time in that one machine or in that bubble. Kind of like that. Maybe these creatures have created a ship or a habitat or a dome that is capable of traveling in and out of whichever reality they need to. That would suck depending on where you show up, man, and what time. Like, if you couldn't control the time period, that would really suck. Or if you could control where and when, like what was built in the area that you're showing up in. Like, you'd have to make sure it always remained open and empty in whatever space it was, because you could get shit built right on top of where you reappear. Or end up inside, like, a collapsed building. You know, so it's crazy to think that. But just, and these kids, man, why could these kids see it and nobody else? And like I said before, how were they reacting? Were they terrified? Were all of them terrified? Were all of them freaked out? Were all of them reacting to something? And point B again, what if they were outside playing and there's a ruptured gas vein and they're all just mass hallucinating because they got a dose of gas to their face? That's a possibility. It's strange. It's a strange case. It's a strange incident. And whether they be aliens, interdimensional beings, or just a hallucination brought on by, you know, a broken gas main, baby. Who, you never know. It's strange, though. Very strange. Very strange description, too. Like, whew. I would not want to mess with these guys. These things are creepy looking. And the one with multiple hands could beat the shit out of you multiple times. So he's got no problems. No problems whatsoever. But, yeah, I think I want to avoid the Casablanca entities at all cost. It'd be interesting to see, though. Be interesting to see. But boys and girls, that's it. That's another episode of the Paranormal Rabbit Hole in the Chute. This one was a quick one. I'm kind of liking getting into the longer ones, so we're doing more long-term research. But I wanted to deliver this one to you this week because I saw it and I was like, dude, those things are wicked. It's very creepy. Very creepy. But cool. Creepy but cool. And so I liked it and I wanted to kind of share it with you this week. All while doing research for a cryptid. So it was a lucky little find, I guess. But anyways, boys and girls, again, we love that you're listening. We see that you're listening and we appreciate it. We appreciate the love. Give us a follow on all those podcasting platforms. Give us a subscribe, follow, rate, review if you can review. We love seeing those 5 stars. We love seeing those reviews. Also, follow us on Instagram, The Paranormal Rabbit Hole Podcast. All one word in that search bar. Go check us out there and tell us what you want us to cover. And we'll do our best. And by that, I mean the team. So, but thank you, boys and girls, and have a great night. And once again, thank you for going down this paranormal rabbit hole with me.